We had technical difficulties
Yes,
today.
we did, but we figured it
But it's okay.
out.
Did it, because that's what we are. We're doers. Well,
Yes.
are you a doer or am I a doer? We're both doers.
Depends, I guess. I mean, for me, it depends what it is, but I am a doer. I'm an A type.
You're an A-type.
Yeah,
Awesome,
I can't
awesome.
sit down and just watch. Need to do something about shit.
Oh yeah, me neither. I'm not a voyeur. I like to partake in everything that I do. That's awesome, awesome. So I'm so excited to have with me Tariq, one of my favorite comedians from Villain Theater. We're here with Tariq today. And this is I'm Just Gain with your host, Hernando Castillo. And welcome. Thank you for joining us. I'm so excited. Thank you for taking the time and coming and being a part of this conversation, gay, Latino, queer conversation with us. I'm so excited. Okay, you want to introduce yourself a little bit to our audience?
Yes, sure. Hi everyone, I'm Tariq Terjeman, actor and comic and teacher. I'm teaching the stand-up course at Villain now, so that's pretty special.
Okay.
Also real estate agent. That's how I make money, by the way. If any gay needs a home, they would get you
Yes.
caught.
Yeah.
I am, my name's Tariq. I'm Guatemalan. My family's from Palestine. I've lived a few places in the world, Jordan, Italy. I'm pretty crazy, like all over the place. And no, I'm really happy to be here. I'm really excited to, talk some
Yeah,
gay Latino, you know.
talk some gay. So you're Guatemalan, but that's how is that? How is being Guatemalan and gay in this in your life? How has that been?
Well, I mean, I've lived in Miami for, oh, well, since 2004. Moved here was I was like 17, going on 18. Like, just graduated high school, going to college, and that's really when I came out. Like, going to college is when I started telling my parents, and so I can't say I never really was gay in Guatemala. I didn't live a gay life in Guatemala. I was in the closet. A few friends knew, but I wasn't, exposed to a lot of gay stuff
So were you dating women? Were you like in the closet with
there.
straight?
Yeah, I dated a few girls. It didn't last. It would last like weeks. One of them is one of my best friends now. So it's a very,
She's like, sex. We're just gonna be besties.
That's what happens. You're like, I really like you, but I do not want to have sex with you. Which nowadays, those are our hags, or I don't know if we can say that word anymore, but anyways, what I'm saying is I didn't get to be gay till I moved to Miami.
Wow. So you, how long, so you were, how
But
long were
I do go back to Guatemala, and I do have gay friends. Shout out to my
you?
bitches. And
Yeah.
I kind of, I see how they live their life and stuff. But it is still, more in the closet. Most of the men they date are in the closet,
That's how it
which
is.
is, yeah. I meet a lot of gays, and a lot of them are, they're out to their friends and stuff, but they're not out to their families, And
Are
there's
you
no
up with the
gay area. The thing is, in Guatemala, I think it's still scary because there's no gay protections, there's no gay area,
family?
and there's still a lot of violence against queers,
Oh, wow. That's dangerous.
So yeah, because I've taken boyfriends back, and especially in the city, I think, if you go to like the outskirts places that are famous for tourism, like Antigua or Lake Atitlan. And there's kind of like an international crowd, and like kind of like this hippie vibe going on. There you can be a little more out and open, But again, there's just not a lot of queer stuff.
And what part of Guatemala are you from? Is it like
Born and raised in the city, Guatemala City.
Guatemala City? Okay,
Yeah.
perfect.
And it's
That
a
is
big industrial city, much like what you're from, like Colombia, right?
yeah, I'm from my dad's from Bogota and my mom's from Pereira, and Bogota's super progressive. Like they have like basically like a gay neighborhood. They approve Heritage Day, like I like to say, they're gay. I mean, it's like okay to be gay, and they're open, so it's nice to know that I come from a place that I think Bogota was one of the first Latin American countries to approve gay marriage. I think
it was one of them. Yeah, like the state of Bogota. Yeah, it was, and. Yeah, it's just very different. Guatemala is much smaller country, and it's very conservative. It's very religious. You know, we have Catholicism. We have the Evangelical Baptist Church now, which is taking over.
Of course, yes.
So there's actually a lot of homophobia at the moment.
Oh, wow. That's sad. Yeah. You know, it's sad.
Yeah.
To live in a place where we can be out and about. And I feel very blessed. To be.
Yeah. Look, Guatemala is a place that has grown and developed a lot when it comes to, you know, economics. And you'll go to Guatemala and you'll be like, oh my God, this place is pretty developed. It's pretty, you can, you know, it's very Americanized and there's great roads and construction and an incredible real estate market and plenty of things to do. However, when it comes to like human rights, women's rights, gay rights, we haven't progressed at all.
So we need
Colombia, like Colombia, and I would say Mexico. Mexico is progressing, at least Mexico City and the state of, you know, that district. But
yeah,
Mexico City. Now there's other states that are doing it. But, you know, Guatemala's still not doing that.
So we need to totally have representation for Guatemala. And that's a voice that you have, that you can represent your Guatemalan community and say, hey, you know what I always think about Guatemala? Have you seen The Birdcage?
Yeah, everyone tells me. I know.
My Guatemalan-ness.
That's funny because Hank Azaria, the actor, is the most famous Guatemalan, un-Guatemalan in the world. But yeah. And I love it. It's funny. You know, it's not the only movie to use us as kind of like to. It sounds so exotic, I think. And. You know, I went to South Africa and like, you know, it's clearly, you know, el culo del mundo, you know, like you're at the end of the world. And people were like, you know, you're from Guatemala? Oh my God, that's crazy. We say Guatemala here to say, but fuck Egypt. You know, so South Africans are like, you know, where are you? Oh my God, it's like going to Guatemala. You know, and it was just so funny to them. Yeah. Some of them are like, I didn't know that was a real place, you know.
That's so funny. If we're going to Guatemala, like back, like it's somewhere like you can't even find. Where is that? Yeah. I don't know. Nobody goes there. Nobody goes there.
Yeah, nobody goes
by
there.
By your mix, so let's talk about, so that's also another part of you. And I know you really talk about that in your comedy, which is amazing. I love just the combination of, you know, Guatemala and then your other nationality. And where's that from dad, mom?
Well, they're both, my mom is the daughter of Sicilian immigrants.
Wow.
And then my father's a Palestinian refugee, you know. He left Jerusalem. He was born and raised in Jerusalem, left because of the occupation, and now, you know, and made a life in Central America where there happens to be a significant population of Palestinians in Guatemala. Really? Mostly in El Salvador and Honduras, mostly. Nicaragua, Panama too, like all of Central America.
You see, I didn't know that. That's amazing. I didn't know there was a big Palestinian community.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of them went and then just started calling. But yeah,
they're like, you need to come here. It's great.
yeah. You know, the Arabs are very, you know, they're very entrepreneurial, you know, so they kind of flourish wherever they go. I saw it firsthand. I saw, you know, Palestinian immigrants come to Guatemala and make a crazy life for themselves, you know, because they were very hardworking and they were just good business people. Also immigrants, you know, when immigrants come from war or, you know, hardship. I grew up with a business father who was always busy and teaching me about, you know, money and assets, and you know.
Did they know everything about you? Do they know you're gay? You're out. You're hair.
Yeah. Well, you know, growing up, I was quite controversial. because I, for you know, look, my dad's an Arab man. my mom, Sicilian, you know, we're Arab, we're Christian Arabs. Mm. But they're still pretty conservative, you know, as much as the Muslims, I would say. And then my mom is, you know, comes from Catholic Sicilian parents. And I grew up in Guatemala, which is a mostly religious, you know, Christian country. So, mm-hmm. and Machista country. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know how I did it.
Latin countries are Machista. Like, I was in Colombia for 6 months, like, living. And they're just, like, they have this backwards way of, like, the man is the man and the woman is the woman. And whether you like it or not, even if you're a progressive woman and you have a bit and you have a career, you still come home and cook for your husband.
Yeah.
Have this like duality in it where you can still be this pro and this expectations of like you're to get married, you're to have children, you're yes. to like can maintain your home. But now I'm progressive, so now I have a career, but I'm still supposed to do all these other things. Like my aunt has a career, but she comes and cooks for her husband. And like,
you know what? Like, I see it. I see it in my cousins, my sisters, a lot of the mm-hmm. Latina women, mm-hmm. you know, like they have full careers, but they are still like 100% like holding up the household, you know, the kids, mm-hmm. the cleaning, the cooking, all that shit.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And I'm like, not about that at all. I'm like Cardi
no,
B.
And it's very Latino. Like, you don't cook or clean, girl.
But baby, I got this ring. Listen, I don't cook and I don't clean. Okay, just letting you know that we're gonna get a maid.
No, it's very, that's very important in a relationship. The cleaning and the upkeep. You know, super I do cook important. And clean. I'm pretty good about it.
Oh my god, you're such a Latina.
yeah. It's also my like my Italian Sicilian. Like I feel that inside of me sometimes. I feel like an old. Sicilian lady.
What does that old Sicilian lady, what does your old Sicilian lady tell you to do? What does she tell you to do inside of you?
Like when someone, like if I did a dinner party and someone's offering to like, you know, help with the dishes or something, it's like, no, I have to do it. I am the only one who knows how to do it correctly. Yeah. And it's yeah, it's like you should chill out and you know get the help or whatever, but no, like he'll come to my house and you can't do anything.
Exactly. Don't touch it. I yes. said leave the pictures in this.
Yeah.
So you're like awesome. I tell you,
you know, mm-hmm. the fact that you mentioned women, I think that's how I came out of the closet despite mm. coming from such a conservative place because mm. I have three sisters. My grandmothers wow. lived with us at a time each, you know, like I was always surrounded by women. So I think that they allowed me to be myself since I was a little kid. I was playing Barbies and being Tarek. Yeah, that's in awesome. The closet, but I very much was who I was and they very much treated me like a gay man. You know what I mean?
And with the therapist, I learned to understand her as well. I learned to understand where she came from, that she felt like she lost her oldest son who was going to have a wife and kids. She lost that. And then I'm like, mom, I can still have a husband and kids. I can still have a family. Yeah. And now 10 years yeah. later, she's B-flagged. She goes to gay clubs. She sent me pictures of boys. You know, she's like, look, you would like that one. That one's good for you. I have all the gays at my work. All the gays at my work are my best friends. All the gays. And I'm like, all the gays, mom. All the gays love you. They're like, all the gays.
No, because secretly also I believe that at the end of the day, we become the favorite child.
Totally.
Because hello, she's like, okay, she loves you. And then she gets over the fact you're not straight. And then she realizes, oh my God, this is kind of better. Mm-hmm. Because totally. She's not going to be some straight, basic asshole like all of them are. No, I'm kidding. But you know what I mean? Like, I can be, this is a different kind of relationship, you know?
No, she's like my best friend. She talks to me about her boyfriend. One time she was like, oh, I'm going to get this lingerie. And I'm like, mom, that's cute. That would make you like, that would be really cute. You know, we became like really friends with each other. Like she couldn't have these conversations with my straight brother because he wouldn't no. have her. So she could have them with me. And so we became close in that we had our own conversations, me as a gay man. And her as my mom, and that she kind of could open up to me in different ways that she could ever open up to my straight brother. And there we meshed, you know?
Well, you know, when I came out of the closet, like everyone in my family kind of came out of their closet. You know, I mean, no one came out about being gay or, you know, a different orientation, but they came out about being, you know, who they really were, whatever that might be, or something that was bothering them. So I, in a way, helped liberate my family. We, you know, if you saw us at the dinner table today, you would see how open we are with each other and how direct, you know. So, then I finally came out to my dad, and it was actually, they were very, I have to say, they were very sweet. They did suffer a lot, like they hurt them, but they didn't say anything bad to me. They did disown me. They didn't do, you know, not much changed for me. Okay. And I knew they had a hard time, but, you know, I remember I gave them some books and, you know, we've talked about it. And now I have to say, what, 15 years later, I think they kind of see how it doesn't really matter. Like it doesn't really affect who you are, you know, your sexuality. You know, all the bad things I've done or the negative things I could have done as a straight person just as well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the parents think that, I think my mom was the same way when I told her. She threw herself on the floor, she cried, she screamed that, why did I do this to her? Why am I doing this to her? And I'm and her Catholic, she took me to the priest because I was super Catholic. And
okay, that was something, my parents were not religious, like our religion was more like cultural, you know, but they weren't very, like they never threw the Bible at me. In terms of,
she threw it at me. She hit me with it. She told me, you're going to burn in hell. Why are you doing this to me? And we had a whole year of therapy and craziness and going to the priest.
Like, straight people will never understand.
And I'm just like, Mom. And my brother's like, leave him alone. He's gay. Leave him alone. And she cried. And so I'm defiant. I'm like the black sheep of the family. And so I'm super defiant with my paint, with my orange tips, you know, wearing like gay clothes, going to the clubs and bringing my boyfriends over and saying, she's going to have to get it. And she's in the room like, what? Like, totally. Mom, stop crying. Stop
totally.
It.
But you know what? I like what you did. Like, I pushed my gay on them. Like, first of all, I was always very gay. I was in drama and theater. You know, I was effeminate. I spoke, like, all my mannerisms were the same. I had a high-pitched voice, just as I still do. You know, like, I was super gay. I was one of those sissy kids. I was made fun of. I was bullied.
Really?
But I think that having been doing theater my whole life, it's kind of funny because the same people who would make fun of you off the stage would praise you when you were on the stage.
It's so funny.
So something about being artistic and being creative and being on the stage kind of helped me survive and made me strong and prepared me to be an out gay person.
I gotta say that the struggle with my mom and the struggle to, like, her acceptance of me gave me strength, because I, at the end of the day, I told her, hey, this is who I am. You gotta accept me. And if you don't accept me, there's nothing I can do because I'm not going to change, Mom.
Exactly. Also, you said something like you would take your boyfriend. Me too. I'm
yes, like, my I boyfriend. Would.
This is my life. Meet him, talk to him. He's a good person.
Exactly. You know, like,
look that he's a good person, so you're chill, so you can relax and see that it's kind of like if he was a girl, you'd be fine, you know?
Totally. He will come over, we'll watch movies. We weren't doing anything sexual because I was still respectful, understanding the lines that I could cross in
my
home.
I would never, like, do anything in front of my parents with my partner.
Yes.
But that's not gay. That goes to my sisters and to anyone in my household, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Mediterranean rule. You can't do anything in front of your parents.
Totally. And you bring this up on stage, so I totally want to talk about that. How long have you been at Villain? To me, it seems like since I saw you that first time that I did open mic, you have been there forever. Like, you were just a staple of Villain. And like...
Oh, yeah. Well, let me see. I started... Was it 2018? 19, 20. It's going to be... This is my third year at Villain.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. I'm realizing. Yeah, since we had one online. we did the quarantine. You know, during quarantine, we were mostly online. But yeah, I'm going on my third year.
Wow, that's awesome.
Doing stand-up, it's like my fifth year.
Wow.
But I've been doing theater and comedy my whole life. I kind of stopped doing it after college because I had to like immigrate, find a job that gave me a visa. I got into real estate, which is just like theater and comedy. It requires the
Everything
same motherfucking skills, you know?
explained. Please elaborate on that. Being a real estate agent equates to being in theater and
I mean, look, you have to have presence, you have to
comedy.
have charisma, you have to maintain your client's interest. No, but more than anything, you know, it's kind of like waiting and sales and all these careers that have a lot to do with acting. You know, you're always in front of people, you're always performing, you
Exactly.
know,
I'm sure
and you have to, yeah, and you have to improvise and you have to entertain them. Sometimes you're showing really rich people for hours. They get sleepy, they get bored. And you don't want that check to get sleepy or bored. You know
Exactly.
what I mean? Like, so you're literally cracking jokes or trying to find out more about them, connect with them, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah. So when I started doing stand-up comedy, I was like, huh, I kind of do this already with no profanity, you know? So, yeah. It kind of went hand to, yeah, hand in hand. So.
It just became very natural at the end. I'm like, I'm a natural at this. This is
Yeah.
supposed to be.
And also comedians, I think that, you know, if you're looking for a good job or comedians, whatever, it's a social job would be great for you. You know, I love a funny waiter, you
Oh
know.
my God.
You know what I mean? If I go to T-Mobile and you crack jokes, I love that shit. I remember you. Oh my God, I just went to a drive-thru Starbucks and
Really?
a lady recognized me from Villain.
No way.
And yes, and she started cracking jokes. She started with like, what do you think of this joke? And I was
Yeah.
like, oh my God,
That's
this is
awesome.
good.
Doesn't
And I'm
that
like,
feel good?
yeah, it does feel great. It does really feel great, yeah.
You feel like you're who you really are on stage. You're the most truest version of yourself on stage, because that's how I feel. Honestly, the most truest, genuine version of myself is when I'm in front of the mic.
Yes. Oh my God. But you know what? Growing up, I was closeted, but I performed my whole life. I was on stage. I was in every school play. I was in the national theater companies wherever I was in the world. I did TV commercials in the Middle East. Like, you know, I was always performing. But when I was performing, a lot of the time I was performing as a, I was playing gay characters or queer characters or making them queer, you know? But you know what I mean? Like I was performing more off stage, you know? My best performances were really, you know, on stage, you know, the cafeteria in high school, you know, like, but when I, so I think that's what pushed me to come out because I spent so much time on stage being who I was and being free, experiencing freedom and happiness, that I was like, there's no way I'm gonna live my life without freedom and happiness, you know?
No, totally. And that's, I think, how I feel the same way. I like came out. I think I came out twice to my mom. I came out first as gay, and then I came out as a comedian. So she's like, what? What do you mean? You went to college, you have a degree. You're supposed to be like in management and sales and marketing. I'm like, Mom, I want to dance. Mom, I want to dance. So
I
I want to be a comedian, Mom. And she's like, "Ay," and then she's like, always like, "Ay, usted siempre con sus cosas." That's like the Colombian way of saying, like, "Ah, you're always with your things. Ah, you're always with your
Yeah.
siempre pideces con sus cosas. Quiere ser comediante. Ahora que mañana bailarina."
Yes.
And so
And
she
like,
like.
yeah, but that's how it is. You know, since I've always been a performer, my parents are kind of like glad I'm finally doing what I love. But at the beginning, when I started doing comedy and I would talk about myself so honestly, like my mom saw some virtual sets of mine, for example, and she never really seen me do comedy till like went virtual during the quarantine.
Oh, really?
And
That's
yeah, because she
interesting.
lives in Guatemala and you know, I was doing comedy and live, you know, I wasn't really streaming it or anything. So
Okay.
when the quarantine came along and she heard me talk about like my childhood and her and myself and myself having like butt sex, you know, she had a little meltdown, you know, it was hard. And I realized, wow, this comedy thing is even, like you said, it's a bigger coming out of the closet, because I think that deep down inside what they fear is like, how real are you going to get? You know,
like, totally fear it.
Que va a decir la familia, you know?
Que va a decir la gente de las barbaridades que usted dice en el escenario? Que va a decir la gente? That's in for people that like, they're always like, what are people going to say? What are people? I'm like, mom, I don't care.
Es el que dirán Latino, you know, that's our religion. People are like, oh, the religion in Latin America is Christianity. No, bitch. It's what do you think? Like, what do the others think? El que dirán.
That's how they live. They live all the way. My mom, to this day, my mom still tells me to like call like my great grand uncle that I never talked to because it's his birthday. And like, ¿qué va a decir la gente si usted no llama a su tío? ¿Qué va a decir la gente? And I was like, mom, I don't even talk to that man. How am I going to call this man I never talked to say happy birthday when I don't even know who he is? He's your uncle, your great grand uncle. And I was like, okay, mom, well, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to go call because of this feeling of like, I don't live like that, mama. That's not how I live my life anymore. I'm sorry. Que dirá la gente does not anything in my life. And Colombians are very much, they do live like that. They have this que dirá la gente type of, and I lived 6 months after a breakup in Colombia, and I realized how embedded it is in their DNA of like, que dirá la gente.
Wait, so and were you born in Colombia?
I was born in Colombia. Thriller Miami. Hold on to your hats and see Miami from the comfort of your own speedboat. Beautiful Miami skylines and fun and exciting adventures. The thrill of Miami, right at your fingertips. Use promo code HDC for $5 off your next ride.